Let us pray.
Almighty God, we give you thanks that we can be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Be with us now as we reflect upon your word to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to think about prayer this morning. And don't worry, I know we haven't had any Bible readings yet, but they will be coming in a moment or two. And as I was thinking about prayer today, I came across a website that had listed on it some of the prayers offered by children. And I just want to read one or two of those to you today. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother. But I think you got confused, because what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, we read today at school that Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school we were told that you did it, so I bet he stole your ideas. Dear God, did you really mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? And I think probably the most profound that I found was this. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. I wonder what words, images, or phrases come to mind for you when you think about prayer. How would you define prayer? At the start of this year, I invited us all to think about and to pray for our church and to make 2019 a year of prayer. And I said I would produce a prayer paper for the whole of the year. And the January and February one is out, and I hope people are using it. If you're not, then there's copies on the unit at the back of church there. And feel free to pick one of those up, and I'll be doing March and April in due course, and that will be available by the end of this month. Prayer has been defined by some as simply conversation with God, and that's a phrase I've often used from the front, from this platform on many occasions, that prayer is that conversation with God. And I've said before how we're very good at bringing our prayers to God. And I know I certainly am, but I'm not so good necessarily at the listening part of that conversation. I'm not so good at that, but I'm very good perhaps at the speaking. And maybe you can relate to that as well. So today, I want us to think about two particular readings, and they're both from Paul's letters. And we're going to hear the first one now. It's Ephesians 1. Reading verses 13 to 25, and Angela's going to read that from where she sat today.
For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Thank Thank you, Angela, for that reading. I find Paul divides opinion. Some people really like Paul, and some people really struggle with some of what Paul writes extensively in his letters. One of the things I really like about Paul is in most of his letters, he always begins, as we've just heard in the letter to the Ephesians, with giving thanks to God for the people in the church to which he is writing. He may then go on to correct them in some way, to teach them in some way, to instruct them in some way. But he virtually always starts with some form of prayer of thanksgiving for the believers. And here is there's no difference here. And one particular verse I just want to highlight to you this morning is the verse 7, where we heard read there, I keep asking that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I've highlighted those words in black at the end of there, because that is just one part of Paul's prayer. That's one part of Paul's longing for the Ephesians, that they may know Jesus better, that they may grow in their knowledge of God and their love for God. And Paul doesn't just ask once, and this has never really caught my eye before until I was reading in preparation for today. Paul says, I keep asking. It's that continuation of prayer, that repetition that Paul keeps asking, that they may know, as part of his prayer, that they may know Jesus better. That continued prayer. As if it's not just a one-off prayer that box ticked. It's an ongoing journey of faith that we are all on. As much for us today, sat in this church, on the 3rd of February, about 5 to 11, as it was the very first time those words were spoken to the Ephesian church. It's Paul's heart's desire that they will continue to grow in Jesus Christ. And prayer is at the heart of that. I looked at one of the books on my shelf as I was preparing for today, and I just want to read this quote to you from Richard Foster in his book, Celebration of Discipline. And Richard Foster says, to pray is to change. Prayer is a central avenue God uses to transform us. The closer we come to the heartbeat of God, the more we see our need and the more we desire to be conformed to Christ. That links very much with those words from Ephesians that Paul keeps asking that the Ephesian Christians would continue to grow in their knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I hope that will be a prayer that we can all pray here in this church, that we too as individuals, a prayer for ourselves and a prayer for others, that we may know him, Jesus, better. For none of us have accomplished. None of us are grade A, and we never will be until we meet Christ in glory. It is that continuing process of learning and discerning and following and accepting where Jesus is leading us. I'm going to invite Linda to read our second reading to us this morning from Philippians.
I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you, Linda. It's funny, some of these words that I've read so many times took on a different sort of power and poignancy when I became a parent, because I could relate the love that Paul has for the Christians to which he writes. And some of these words I find immensely powerful. Because the things he asks for, he's not just asking for one or two things, he's asking for so much, both in Ephesians and Philippians and the other letters that he writes. He has such a love for these Christians that he wants the very best for them. Yes, he corrects them when they've done wrong. Yes, he rebukes them. Yes, he teaches them. Yes, he trains them. And when I became a parent, that for me, these words took on a different meaning. They became something more powerful because of the love I have for my children, the way I want them to grow, the way I want them to learn, the way I want them to grow in their own and on their own faith journey. One of the reasons for Paul writing to the Philippians was to thank them for a monetary gift that they'd sent to him. Paul is believed to be writing this letter from prison, or maybe house arrest rather than prison. So he was sort of limited, but he had some movement, was able to write letters, was able to even see people under house arrest. And he wrote this letter to the Philippians to thank them primarily for their financial gift to him. But the word that struck me in this reading today was the word partnership. Paul very much feels that he is in partnership with those believers in each of those churches. Some of them he had more to do with than others. Some he spent time with and considerable time. Others he was but passing through and would offer instruction and guidance as he was doing so. But he very much saw his ministry as partnership in the gospel. And sometimes that partnership doesn't always mean that we know the very person we're in partnership with. And we'll hear a bit later by Peter, who will share that we have helped the people to buy the land that they're buying. And yet we don't know them personally. Yet we're in some way in partnership with them as we've helped them to be able to buy that land, grow their crops, and help in that region. And then there's other kinds of partnership that we are in partnership, perhaps with the person sat next to us in church today. Might be a marriage partnership. Maybe that you work together in some form of ministry within the church. But we are all in partnership when we have that relationship with Jesus. We are in partnership with Jesus. And partnerships is a word that I'm reading a lot at the moment, as we think about missional partnerships within our Northwestern Synod. On Saturday, here, a week last Saturday, we had a prayer day for all the churches, all 14 churches in our missional partnership were invited to come, and between 10 and 4 o'clock, the church was open for people to just to drop in and to spend as little or as much time as they wanted in prayer, specifically praying for missional partnerships. And those I spoke to that came got a huge amount from it, just taking that time out to offer prayer to God and to listen for God's voice. On your seat as you came in this morning, you will have received, or if you didn't pick it up, you'll be sat on it, a bookmark. with information on both sides. Well, you can use it as a bookmark if you want, or you can simply just place it somewhere prominent in your house. The green and the blue ones are exactly the same, but for the colour. Designed by Joan for the prayer day. Joan printed the green ones off, and I've boosted the numbers with the yellow ones because I felt it was important that we each took one of these away. And in this year of prayer, that this will also aid us in our prayers. You've got the people involved, and you've got prayer focuses that Joan has helpfully put on there. And on the back, you've got the 14 churches that are within our missional partnership. And I want to encourage you to take these away. Put them in your Bible if that's helpful. Place them on fireplaces or wherever. Just to aid you in praying daily for our church and for our missional partnership as we look to partner with brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of North Manchester, Bury, Rochdale, etc. Please take these away and pray daily if you can. Down each point, you may wish to take a couple of churches each day within the week. That would divide quite well between 7 days in the week. And just to pray down those and to pray for God to bless us as we seek to be God's people, as we work in partnership with God and in partnership with our brothers and sisters in other churches as well. Because we can do nothing on our own. We need God to be part of who we are and what we're doing. If God is not in it, it will not come to fruition. And I want to close with some words of Jesus from John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 6. And Jesus said to those gathered with him, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And I think there's a challenge there. There's no full stop after, "but I chose you," end of discussion. But "and appointed you to go and bear fruit." We are on a journey. God has got a mission for us. And we need to play our part in that mission, both locally and regionally, in being the people God wants us to be. And before we can do that, we need to be a praying people, a listening and a speaking people, but acting in accordance with God's will and God's plan for us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise that you are a God who can be trusted, that you are a God who calls us into partnership with one another and with others, but most importantly, with your Son, Jesus Christ. So may we grow in our knowledge of him and be filled with your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.